Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we're really glad to be with you. Now, we're going to be on a two-day delay for our show here, so some of the things we talk about may have already been decided, so you need to keep that in mind, because we are recording at the end of the weekend, and but the news is not good in America. It's not good at all. And we're going to get to that in a minute with our guest, Darren Weeks. We're going to talk about what happened in Michigan. I am stunned that anyone in Michigan would vote for their own enslavement, and that's effectively what they're doing. I mean, from the fake FBI kidnapping to, well, we'll get into all of it. I'll hold my tongue here for just a minute. But let me go to our board here of what we want to make available to you. We are focusing on very pointed products here on the Common Sense Show. I think things are going to get very dark if the Democrats do hang on, and it looks like they're going to in both houses. If they do hang on, this has been a coup, and a coup is followed by a purge. And the way, one of the ways to avoid a purge is to be prepared. So we talked to you about storable food. Go to preparewithdave.com. There's a great special there right now. A great special. They have not raised their prices. 25-year shelf life, and the quality is great. This is the number one company in the country. And if you haven't done this, you need to do this, because they will use food to manipulate you. And it's coming. And it's coming quickly with the railroad strike that's looming. If the mechanics go out, the railroad workers are going out. And then you've got the diesel situation. The food plant's burning down over 110. So, anyway, word from the wise. Preparewithdave.com. Also, too, you still have limited time to diversify your assets. John Kerry has said that they are after ending capitalism, and so you need to get the hell out of the bank as much as you can, and you need to diversify like I have. I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 4 years myself, and you need to have a conversation with them, so give them a call at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And the details are all there. The details when you call them, and you have to close all deals. So asset diversification ahead of the coming tsunami their way, that they'll make stick like we did. You really need to diversify. And then finally, one more thing here. I just read an article about this where they say Western capitalists are going to have to get used to 15 minutes of energy an hour. I'm not joking. This is coming out of the climate change conference. I don't know that that's rigid. I don't know if it's a regular pattern, but I just know it signals intent. And so if the grid goes down, you've got to scavenge for water, correct? Well, that's why we have the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. The research is on site at waterwithdave.com, and you'll see they're number one in the industry. They, too, have not raised their prices. You can go to waterwithdave.com. Order yours today. We recommend one for each family member, because if you're scavenging, carrying volume could become an issue. So go to waterwithdave.com. These are the things that we think that you should be moving towards doing. In fact, actually, we like to say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. If they do solidify power, and I do believe they're centralizing, and they will turn this into a total police state, one of the ways to avoid being ensnared in that initial net is to be independent with your resources. Darren Weeks has a great show called Govern America. I had the privilege of being on it recently, and of all things, we talked about voter fraud in Maricopa County, which I've already done a couple of shows on with eyewitnesses who were there and saw what happened. But we're back here. We're going to talk about Michigan. We're going to talk about the kind of what-ifs if the Democrats are able to steal this election and its finality. So, Darren, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for having me, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that you're listening to Dave, and we are in some interesting, challenging times, aren't we?
It's the end of our democracy as we know it, our republic form of democracy. The Democrats' definition of democracy are two wolves and a sheep deciding who's for dinner. No constitutional liberties, you know, no guaranteed rights, no prohibitions on government. Anything that they need to do, they will do.
Well, I don't, I kind of take a little bit of a different approach or a different take on this. I, I know that there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, a lot of people who, you know, and certainly my wife was so disgusted she wanted to leave the state after the election. And I told her, I said, well, the problem is if you don't, number one, our jobs are here. And number two, you have to kind of do the best you can to clean up the corruption where you are. And there are things people can do. I think most people get frustrated and discouraged when they don't have a direction for remedy. And it certainly looks like our directions for remedy are running out. But there are still places where we can be involved. And I said on our show, the show that you were on the 12th of November, which people can listen to at governamerica.com. You can go into the archives there, and Dave's in the final hour. But one thing that I said during that show is that we have to focus, I think, refocus our attention on the state and local government. And the federal government is very out of control, to the point where, I mean, you really aren't going to be able to do anything about it unless you can get your local government cleaned up first. And there's no shortage of corruption here in, I know, my state, and I'm sure every state has its share of corruption. Anytime you have people involved, you have sinful creatures, and they're corrupt. But, you know, for instance, we have a chairman of the GOP here in Michigan, Ron Wisner, and he is in the process right now of denying funding for candidates who are MAGA or populist candidates in the state. I mean, yeah, this guy...
He's one of them, yeah.
He's one of those gatekeepers, and what I would describe, in my opinion, as a rhino Republican. And so these are the people that you need to expose, and you need to do the best you can to get them moved. But there are other things. I mean, recently there was a candidate, and I don't, I'm hesitant to use his name because he's somebody that has been respected very well in this state until just recently. I'll just go ahead and say his name. His name is Matt DiPerno. He was a candidate for attorney general here in the state, and my daughter has become very involved in state politics as well here. And she was a precinct delegate. She polled in this last election. I'm very proud of her. But she witnessed Matt DiPerno laughing at his donors. He conceded before many people felt that it was a warranted thing. The thing was still being challenged. There's all of this fraud everywhere, and I can give you some examples. And Matt DiPerno threw in the towel, and everybody was demanding to know, because you've got some people in the state that have given his campaign thousands of dollars, and they wanted to know, why did you concede? And he just laughed at them and said, what have you done? And, you know, and he said this to a number of different people that were standing around. And one person said, I gave you thousands of dollars. Another one said, I worked at your polling location, or I tried to work there and I was denied. And so he's laughing at these people who have given him thousands of dollars. It's just unconscionable. And this guy is a constitutional attorney, supposedly, and as I said, attorney general candidate. So there's a number of other things that have happened here in the state of Michigan. You have Ann Arbor was registering people after the deadline of 8 p.m. They were not supposed to register anybody after 8 p.m., and they were registering people. I know you had a situation in your state with, you know, what we call Sharpie Gate, where they're giving people, voters, Sharpies, which bleed through the ballot, and to the other side.
You're saying this happened in Michigan too?
Absolutely.
It happened in Arizona twice, 2020 and 2022.
Yeah, this is a tactic. And folks, it may seem like a small thing, but it's not a small thing, because all of these things add up with various locations. I mean, you know, you would think that elections are something brand new, Dave, that we don't know how to conduct election. All of a sudden, it's just like this developed country, the United States, you know, which has been traditionally the most wealthy country in the world. We could argue that that's not the case.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I can't believe that we can't get this right. We can send solar system probes out. We can leave the nine planets. We can send back material, and we can't run an election in one day.
Yeah, and we can't count the votes in one day.
I'm getting strange noises coming in.
Yeah, I thought those were coming in on your end.
They are, and I'm not sure where they're coming from. This is a routine occurrence. I was doing a show with Doug Thornton, from former DHS guy, the other day, and we had the theme from the NFL piped in.
No
So,
kidding.
oh yeah, this happens all the time. And we do the precautions here. But anyway, it seems to have abated. Okay. All right. I'm sorry about that.
It'll be an interesting hour anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting hour. If indeed this all gets solidified and the Democrats steal another election, I'm going to say this. For my money, it's a waste of time to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. Their cheating conditions are unbelievably similar to 2020, but they're even better at what they're doing now. And the thing is they do it in front of people. There are accounts now in the Gateway Pundit involving my county in Maricopa County, and just fraud right in front of the public, and no one cares. And just like Washoe County, the lights go out for 9 hours, and all of a sudden the numbers change dramatically by about a 15,000 vote flip, and people don't even see. I mean, people should be in the streets right now. But here's the deal: it's going to come down to, we can't get the process back. I don't think we can, Darren. We don't control the media. We don't control the county clerk and recorders. We're losing key governorships where they don't already control the election process. So my personal belief, it's time for massive civil disobedience. We just don't do anything that they pass out of Washington.
Well, that's one approach, and I have to disagree with you slightly.
I want to do the compare and contrast. Go ahead, please. Do disagree.
I think there are things we can do and we must do if we're going to preserve our constitutional republic. First of all, voting. There may not be anything that you can do with regard to voting. When you show up, you have no guarantee your vote is counted or has been counted since you've started voting, actually. But we still continue to vote up. I think you have to show up. You have to show up and vote, continue to vote, but don't let that be the extent of your activism. And that's the problem, is I think for generations people have trusted the ballot. And there has been no guarantee that your vote has been counted up till now. So we have to continue to, because if you don't show up, you've guaranteed they don't even have to bother trying to rig the election at that point. I do hear that. The sentiment you just expressed, I'm hearing a lot. And I totally understand.
But it's a totally futile, 100% destined to fail act to continue to vote.
But even if it is, I still think you have to show up. And I'll tell you why. That's not the extent of your activism, however. Then you work with your local officials, and there's a movement here in Michigan. I know there's probably similar movements in other states to try to root out the corruption. And I'm going to give people direction today on where to go to do just that. I mean, the criminality is off the charts, and it's being aided and abetted by the officials who are in charge, at least in this state, and I'm sure probably other states as well. The Republican officials, shame on you. If you're a Republican official and you're helping to aid and abet the criminality that's going on along the Democrat lines, and all of these people who are involved in that need to be exposed and they need to be rooted out. Now, you know, we had the Gateway Pundit has done a good job at reporting a lot of this fraud. They reported a U-Haul van that made two drops at the Detroit counting centers. I think it was used to be called the TFC Center or something like that. And they made two drops in the middle of the night, which gave Whitmer a lead at a time when Dixon was leading. So that was going on. They also reported on Michigan activists who witnessed Penske trucks. The two separate cars in these activists were following this Penske truck going to a warehouse at 3 a.m. across the street from a printer warehouse where the ballots were being kept. And they observed a lot of very suspicious activity in the middle of the night. And so those are the types of things that need to be reported. We have our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, who has been found by a court to be violating campaign law. Everything this woman has done is designed to weaken our election system. I think there was like four or five separate court rulings that found that she had violated the law.
And nothing will happen to her. I'm predicting that right now. It never does. There is a case in Arizona where the mayor of San Luis, Arizona, is currently in jail for a ballot stuffing scheme. The mayor of the town. Of course, we're told there's absolutely no imperfect elections in Arizona, but there's someone sitting in jail. But that's a rare occurrence, Darren. I mean, look at Hillary. 33 felonies identified by the FBI director on national TV, and she's not even investigated beyond that.
Yeah. I realize it's frustrating, but the more people are involved and have eyeballs on all of this and do what they can to come down to a precinct level and get all of this stuff out in the open so that it can be challenged. But see, the problem is now we're running on a clock because the votes here in Michigan anyway are designed to be certified, I think, about the 22nd. November 22nd is certification date. So we're kind of on a stringent timetable here. But there's, you know, just to run around, there's a candidate for Secretary of State, Christina Caramo, and she wrote a letter to the people of the state, and she says, as our team monitored Election Day activities, we received multiple reports of election law violations and other irregularities throughout multiple counties, and she names off a few of them, which include municipalities refusing to perform their legally mandated duty to make public the number of absentee ballots received as required per the law by 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. Citizens arriving at the polls only to be told they already voted absentee.
Yeah.
The Ann Arbor clerk arrogantly committing election crimes by illegally accepting absentee ballots past 8 p.m. That's the thing I was mentioning earlier. Registering people to vote past 11 p.m. and registering non-Michigan residents to vote in Michigan elections. The Ann Arbor clerk told the witness that the current Secretary of State approved it. So these are the types of things, the types of games that are going on right now. And so a part of what we have to do is educate the public to understand why this is so important. And it's not a partisan issue. That's the thing that people need to be under. A lot of the people on the left think that the right-wing people, the conservatives, are throwing a fit about this. They're under the illusion by the media that this is just sore losing and stuff. But when you can point to documented evidence, and this is why it's very important to have critical information, and why I'll tell as we go on a little bit before the end of this hour, I want to tell your listeners exactly how we can gather some information that is documented information that we can present potentially to get a court injunction, because there's a movement right now in the state of Michigan to try to get a court injunction to stop the certification of this election.
Why would the courts be any different now than they were 2 years ago? Let me ask the question a different way. Okay, Donald Trump was a direct participant in the election, yet he was told, we're not hearing your case because you don't have standing. In other words, they're saying, please don't even try this with us. We're not going to listen to anything you have to say, no matter how valid the claim.
Well, you never quite know how. There have been some, like I just said, there have been some court rulings that have gone in our favor as well. You never know how a court's going to go. But if you don't try, you've guaranteed the success.
Well, and I guess was Trump 0 for 23?
What's that?
Trump was 0 for 23. So I know what you're saying. If you first don't succeed, try again. But he was 0 for 23. Let me ask you if you've had anything like this. This is reported this morning by Uncover DC, but there's no shortage of evidence and eyewitnesses. An election judge, Michelle Swinnick, has come forward to report what she experienced. She worked Election Day at an Islamic voting center in Scottsdale. She reported the center is heavy Republican with no party designated voters as the second most populous demographic. And then she said the voting machines went down, of course. The tabulators all worked perfectly during the test the night before the election. But when the scanning began immediately with the first ballots, they tried to scan the ballots 4 to 12 times, and they did not work. Only 1 in 10 ballots were being read properly. Voters were given directions to either spoil their ballots or try to drop them again into a section called Door 3. Now, she goes on, and I'll short-circuit this. I won't read the whole thing. But she said she witnessed, and this is now out there in public media, that they commingled the door three uncounted ballots with ballots that had already been tabulated, and they did it multiple times. And her roommate, she said, had the same exact kind of issues. He said that when he checked in to vote and they took his ballot, they said, this will be done immediately, and it was not. And to this day, he still can't find record that his vote has counted, or even where it's at in the system. And here's another thing she said. They asked her, in your opinion, why were they doing these things? Because there's other things here. Oh, here's a list of this, though. She was told by her supervisor, I've heard that you've expressed displeasure about what's going on. And she said, yes, anyone with eyes can see what's happening here. And he said, if I find out you have gone on any podcasts, I will terminate you. So then Uncover asked her, in your opinion, why is this happening? All these things. And I left out about five other anomalies that she mentioned. In my opinion, the machines were programmed to do this, and it was all planned. The process and narrative, both machines and people, it was brilliantly done. They isolated the ballots to replace or not count them in 223 bags. The hard part for them in 2020 during the primary was getting the ballots to match their manufactured machine count. This way, they have everything isolated in the bags. Case closed. This is from an election judge, Darren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we know this kind of stuff is happening everywhere with these election machines. And this is the problem with computerized voting machines. I mean, if we're going to restore the ballots, we need to impress upon our state lawmakers to basically make absentee ballots a thing of the past. The problem is here in Michigan, they just passed Proposal 2. And Proposal 2 is a horrific proposal, basically cast the door wide open for a massive fraud. I believe Michigan's now one of the most corrupt election states in the nation, if not the world. This proposal creates a 9-day early voting period. Now think of all the stuff that you can do in 9 days. Early voting. It requires voters to present photo identification. That sounds good, but you got to keep reading on the ballot. It says photo identification or sign an affidavit when voting in person applying for an absentee ballot. So in other words, you don't even have to really present the photo ID. They might as well not even have that in the sentence, because the latter part of the sentence invalidates the first part. I mean, you don't need photo ID if all you have to do is sign an affidavit saying you are who you are. And then, you know, there's something, provisions about military and overseas ballots being postmarked. That's fine, I guess. But providing voters with a right to request an absentee ballot, requiring the state to fund prepaid stamps and tracking systems for absentee ballots. And I can talk about some chain of custody issues as well, because we had the guy who runs the Detroit election system. He basically said that there is no chain of custody. We don't need to have a chain of custody.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no reason to have a chain of custody. His name is Daniel Baxter. He's the election administrator for the city of Detroit. No chain of custody for the drops at the TCF Center in Detroit. You know, when he was confronted about that, and that's what, there's an effort now going on in the state to try to reestablish a chain of custody for these drops and for all the precinct locations, so that it can be tracked from the county level, from the precinct level rather, to the municipal, to the county, to the state, and make sure all of the numbers match up, and where they don't match up, find out why they don't match up, and to try to get the information out and get it out as quickly as possible to save the election from being invalidated. Yeah, you could say it's a long shot. But if you don't try, we've pretty much damned future generations to having unrepresented government. And I think it's incumbent upon us to try to do something about all this corruption. But yeah, it's difficult. I totally get the but see, this proposal too in the state, it's there's other provisions in there, and then the drop boxes are probably one of the worst, most egregious things You know, they try to say that that documentary, 2000 Mules, oh, it's been highly discredited or highly debunked.
It hasn't been discredited in any way, shape, or form.
I haven't seen any discreditation, but that's what the media is saying.
But see, saying it doesn't mean it's true, and they just say it and hope everyone believes it.
That's exactly right. And the answer, it's never been answered. The questions it raises, especially since you have surveillance footage of these locations of people dropping off multiple ballots and coming back and bringing back more multiple ballots and dropping them off, and they go from location to location and drop off a few here, a few there, you know, 15 here, 20 there. This is how you throw an election. And until somebody gets to the bottom of this, and this is investigated, you're not going to have an honest election. And nobody can say, see, everybody should be working for transparency. Everybody should be working for the ability to, so that everyone knows on all sides. You know, and if the outcome is that we didn't win, then fine. Then that's the outcome. But at least we know it was an honest process. This proposal, too, also provided that local governments can accept charitable and in-kind donations to assist with running elections as long as donations are disclosed and aren't from foreign entities. So local governments can accept, George Soros donations, I guess? That's what it sounds like to me. So you can have George Soros funding elections here in Michigan. And people like him.
He already does. Here in Arizona, for example, we know through his subsidiary companies like Media Matters, he supported gubernatorial candidate Katie Hobbs when she was running for Secretary of State to the tune of $2 million. The same amount went to Paul Penzone, who was paid that to ostensibly unseat Joe Arpaio because of his border stance. So he's already deeply involved in our politics here in Arizona. I suspect he is in Michigan, too. This just makes it out in the open.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, that's proposal two anyway, and unfortunately we're led to believe that that passed by the people of Michigan along with the other two egregious proposals. You know, a lot of people focused on proposal three, which, you know, is the abortion thing, and I think that brought a lot of people on the left out to vote where they probably ordinarily wouldn't have. So that could have skewed the results some, but people need to reorient their focus. We spent a lot of time focusing on national elections, federal political stuff, and I think it's very incumbent upon us to try to root out the corruption on a local level. I know you've been involved very heavily in Arizona, and you've tried to do what you can there as well, but many hands make for light work, and so this effort right now to get the forensic audit in place in Michigan, I just was listening to a conference call. Patrick Kobach is a constitutional attorney, and he's a former senator in the state, and he's very heavily involved in this effort to get the forensic audit in place, and he's asking people to get copies of the precinct tape. Now, what this is the data from the actual tabulating machines from each precinct location, and they call it a zero tape. And what it does is it makes sure, number one, that at the beginning of the election day, there's no pre-arranged votes already on the machine. And number two, at the end of the day, make sure, you know, it provides a tabulation of all of the races. And you can get this and request it from your local clerk and get this up on, you know, uploaded to the website. And the website is, hold on a second, I'll give it to you. I think it's Precinct Eyes. It's electioneyes.us. electioneyes.us. And this is a kind of a bare bones website right now, but right now the locations that you can do this for are Texas and Michigan, and they're looking, I think, to expand it out into other states as well. But even if you don't live in the state of Michigan and you want to help, you can do this because anyone can request a precinct tape from any precinct. They're hoping to cover all of Michigan's precincts, and there's 4,755 precincts in the state of Michigan. I think he said, you know, a couple of days ago, he had like 13 of them or something like that, or right around that number anyway. So there was a lot of work to be done and a very short time to do it. But if anybody wants to help, you can call the county clerk. If they won't cooperate with you, then you can FOIA the request. You can FOIA the tape. But getting that and then uploading it to electioneyes.us, that website, and there's also, you can listen to actually these conference calls at transformmi.com.
What do you mean?
That's transformmi.com. And they have these conference calls posted there. But so you can get more information about the process. But they're wanting these tapes, these zero tapes, the precinct tapes from the election equipment, and they're going to try to take this information, then gather it all up and present this in a case, because this guy is, you know, as I said, he's got an attorney, he's got attorneys on this, so he wants to be able to gather the data and present this. Be able to compare the results. The idea is to compare the results from the machines to the results of the overall count. And they're looking at timetables, because in the past they found discrepancies with which things were reported in the official results and on the news that don't match up to the actual outcomes of the machines. So that's the effort that's going on right now to try to root out the corruption. And
did you see where the charges against Connick, who was accused of holding voter registration records in China, those charges in L.A. were dropped today?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, those charges have gone away. That's what I mean. I don't believe anyone's ever going to be held accountable. You got the foxes watching the hen houses all over the country. I don't see a way around it. Darren, I can't tell you the number of thousands of hours I've spent on voter fraud in Maricopa County. And I see no solution, because I see how completely the system is controlled.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it's an uphill fight.
Well, where do we break through at? Give me a breakthrough point. I'll give you an example. We've got a Republican in Arizona. We've got a Republican legislature, both houses. But you're going to probably have Katie Hobbs as the Democratic governor. She'll veto everything they try to do. You've got a criminal, and I do mean a criminal. And we're going to turn our attention on Adrian Fontes, too. But he's a criminal in charge of the Secretary of State. You're not going to get anywhere with him. There's no recourse for people in Arizona. None. Everything that's in place will stay in place. And as I told you the other day on your show, they make a big deal now in the media that the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors are made up of mostly Republicans. That doesn't matter. A lot of the Republican Party, the old guard, they're tied to international banking. They're in favor of what's going on. They want to block populist Republican candidates. They want to block populist movements. So party affiliation has nothing to do with it. Look at Mitch McConnell. He's the classic example of what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, I would imagine you have some pretty similar things in your state. But let me ask you this question. Here's what really baffles me. I know people can be stupid and ignorant, okay, but let's move away from that side. You got to assume some of the people that actually voted for Whitmer aren't stupid and ignorant. And you have to ask yourself, don't they give a damn about their kids, about their kids' education, about what their kids are taught, about the economy? She's going to cut off natural gas. She wants to shut down the pipeline from Canada. What about the people in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan? I mean, what are these people thinking when they vote for someone like this?
They don't think. They don't think. That's the problem. They don't do any research. They listen to MSNBC. These are the default people who don't really study situations deeply. And that's the problem, is they listen, they think they're under the illusion, and I would say delusion, that Whitmer was looking out for their best interest during the COVID-19 mess. You know, so this is a governor, as you know, who made gardening essentially illegal in the state of Michigan. This is a governor that during the COVID mess took the most totalitarian measure in place that she possibly could, any direction to, you know, because she gets off on being able to destroy people's lives. She's bankrupted a number of businesses in this state. I know, I've fined numerous others. Dana Nessel, the attorney general here, went after businesses if employees weren't wearing masks or one employee wasn't wearing a mask properly. They would send their little goon squad from one business to another and fine businesses tens of thousands of dollars. I know I used to get the messages from the state of Michigan. The state police put out these notifications of enforcement, and I would read these during that whole COVID mess. And I'm just saying that, you know, they literally put thousands of business in the state, either through fines, through forcing them to stay shut down, because they were deemed non-essential. And so, but there is a segment of the state population, and I'm sorry to say it's a quite substantial segment of the state population that still is under the delusion that this is somehow in the public interest to be able to be done. And make no mistake about it, if we lose this process of elections, they're going to keep us locked down on a regular basis. There's already been talk about climate lockdowns. There's going to be, you know, right now the WHO, and you probably know this as well, you're a very informed individual, and I know your audience is really smart. The WHO is in the process right now of setting up a goon squad, you know, through the pandemic treaty. They want to be able to have the power to come into your country and to declare a health emergency and unilaterally shut down areas. So it's an essential martial law that they want to be able to come in, suspend everything, and be able to force you to stay home, lock you up, make you basically a prisoner in your own home. And this could go on indefinitely. Think China, only apply it to the world. That's the power that they want to be able to do, and these state governments are going to implement that on people. You know, Biden's very friendly with the WHO. He's very friendly, as you know, with the World Economic Forum, which is where this stuff is coming from. And so those are the stakes, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't stay involved and do what you can to try to roll this thing back, and I understand it gets real discouraging. You know, I fight that on a regular basis myself. Those of us who have been at this for many years, we get tired, we get weary, we get worn out. But, you know, there are things that are the good thing, and I'm trying to sound like a Pollyanna here, but the good things that are happening, we have never had more people on our side than we do now. We have never had more people tuned in. And yeah, I can give Trump some credit for that. Because he caused a lot of people to be galvanized around the idea that, you know, we need to fight for our country, when people were pretty much tuned out, I think, prior to 2016 or prior to the 2016 election. So there's a lot of the corruption, and then the mask was taken off the beast at this point, and it was revealed for what it was. That being said, you know, where I have problems with Trump is a lot of the things that he went along with. You're listening to Debbie Birx and Fauci and shutting down our economy across the country and, you know, facilitating all of this mess, which ultimately led to his own demise, because he ended up being, you know, they ended up being able to rig the election better, which is what I think really was a big intent for it all along. But they're going to take this money against us in the future in a major way. And that's why, you know, we have to stay engaged and not get discouraged to the point where we end up quitting, because there's too much.
We have to stay engaged. Okay, we can stay engaged and keep doing the same thing over again, and hopefully you win some officials over, because that's what it'll take. But also too, I look at the Democrats. If you look at history, this is the time they're going to say, this is how we. This is the time to centralize power. And this is when the coup can become a purge. And I think our attention, maybe whether we want it to be or not, is going to be taken off elections and on just basic survival, because of what they're going to do to us.
Yeah, and I think basic survival, number one, that should be everybody's first priority. Getting the election back. I mean, obviously we're dealing with a timetable here in Michigan, so people have to focus their attention as best they can on trying to get this thing done before the deadline. With that being said, more broadly, I think we do have to make sure that we're prepared, and whatever that means to you. I've had people before when I would say things about, being prepared and everything, people would get mad at me for not having more specific things. What do we do? I can't tell you what to do because I don't know your circumstance. And, I always told those people who got angry at me, I put it right back at them and said, use the gray matter between your ears. You know your situation, you know your financial condition, and yes, a lot of people are strapped for cash. I'm not independently wealthy either, and we have to look at our situation and decide what we can do. Whether it be living in, if you live in a rural area, maybe you might consider building a chicken coop and getting some chickens. I mean, that's a pretty basic starting point, I would say, and that'll keep you busy for a little bit. But the important thing is, at least now you're getting something, and anything that you can, when spring arrives, put in a garden. Try your hand at gardening if you've never done that before. I know a lot of people have, are pretty good at growing things, but the more you can do that, getting into canning, jarring, these are things, anything you can do to make yourself a little less dependent upon the system, that'll keep you alive potentially one more day. And the problem is we don't know. We can't plan for every eventuality, but we know a couple of things are happening here. We've already seen the store shelves go empty. We've already seen how panic buying can kick in very quickly. With the COVID thing, that was a real wake-up call to a lot of people. We've been predicting that kind of thing for years, and we saw it during the COVID thing. I know, I'm from Alabama, Franklin County, where we have a lot of my relatives live on a mountain that ices over in the wintertime. And I can tell you right now, whenever there's an ice storm that's getting ready to come, I mean, a lot of these people are, generational farmers. But still, the store shelves still go empty when they have an ice storm on their way. So, they're very familiar with that kind of thing down there. Here in the north, we don't get that a lot, except that when the COVID mess happened, a lot of people in the north, it was kind of their first foray, I think, into empty store shelves, at least as far as anyone could remember. So this is something we're going to see more and more of. And you mentioned the diesel shortage. That's something that's certainly looming on the horizon, seems to be getting worse. And as soon as people get a, catch wind of that happening, then I think there's going to be a lot of panic buying again. Your basic staples are going to disappear. Spaghetti noodles, I can't understand why people start massive buying toilet paper and bread. Somehow there seems to be some deep-seated fear of not having enough toilet paper. There's other ways to solve that problem, so that's not your first thing to be worried about. But people need to be concerned about basic staples and any way that you can produce this stuff yourself, because that's going to keep you alive one more day. And it's going to, but if you live in a city, I mean, there's my number one piece of advice has been the regular advice everybody always gives is, if you can get out of the city, get out of the city. And everybody's situation is different, I understand, because those are going to be the first areas where it's going to be, potentially mass rioting and looting. We saw that during the whole George Floyd thing. You want to try to get out of the city if you can. I realize that's, there's no pat solution for everybody, but getting into the rural areas if you can, and then you can do more. Maybe get some land, get the garden in, get chickens, maybe a goat or two. These are things. Anything you can do to increase your self-sufficiency, and then also refrigeration, power generation. I know you have solutions that you offer on your show on a regular basis, Dave, for some of this stuff. But that's really got to be our focus right now, because the government's going to be working against us, and even that's not foolproof.
Yeah, you're kind of reinforcing one of my original notions. We need to move away from their power control grid and move outside the system and be self-sufficient. That's what I just heard you say.
Yeah, we're headed into the winter right now. It's just turned off very cool here in Michigan. We've got some flakes of snow coming down here today where I'm at right now. And so people have already got to be thinking about heating their houses. You know, the fuel prices are going up now for propane and, you know, heating oil. And it's going up across the board for everything. And so this is one thing people have to think about. You know, we might consider getting a wood-burning stove. If you haven't already had one, you just maybe even just to have it, you know, so you can install it when you as you need it, but at least you have it because there could be a rush on all that.
Didn't the EPA outlaw those? I thought they did.
Well, I know that they outlawed certain kinds. You can still find used ones that are around. I think that they were putting regulations in place for particulate matter. You know, but you can still get them, but you won't be able to get them if everybody's trying to get them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's just like the food that I sell, too. I've been telling people for months that this was coming, and now the train people are telling me that if the mechanics strike, they're not crossing the line, and that'll be the beginning. So, and then it'll be Katie bar the door. So, yeah, people procrastinate, and in an area like this, procrastination's fine when you're talking about making your bed in the morning. But when you're talking about essentials for survival, that's not a good habit to have.
No, exactly right. So that's really the best thing I could say is not to be discouraged. I mean, yes, people can lick their wounds. People can get upset. But it's time to roll up our sleeves and really get to work. And there's a lot of things you can do individually. You know, you can do it politically, but do it individually. And if you spend your time doing on the things that you can do, then we won't have time to worry about the things we can't do. I guess that's the message I have.
Yeah, but the people, if you're not worrying about what you can't do, those people on the other side are worried about what they can do to you with the power they already have. I look at it like this. Elections are going to become far less important to me in terms of where I center my efforts. I'm going to have to look at activism as a hobby, and adaptation is a primary vocation. I have to learn how to live in this system and help my family survive in this system and then transmit that knowledge to my audience. We need to be outside their systems of control. That means that this is why I advertise for Noble Gold. They can diversify you to the point where the government has very little oversight of what you have. They can pass a law, but they're not in your house, is what I'm saying. So they really have no idea what you're doing in some areas. And then I talk about the food, the water filtration. Historically, dictators have used this to control people. So I say, let's take away that mechanism of control. Don't make yourself vulnerable to their whims. We're coming to a point where I'm going to tell people, don't use credit cards. Don't use your bank debit cards. You're going to have to go about business differently. Don't shop at the corporate stores. I mean, there's things, and I'm not saying it's a matter of malice. I'm saying it as a matter of practicality. You want to help those entities survive that you need to survive. And your local business is less likely to turn on you than, say, a Walmart.
Well, I'll even go you one deeper, Dave. I think that the day is quickly coming where you will not have the option of shopping in your local stores. So I'm
unless you're in black market. I want to add that.
Yeah, I'm firmly in your camp right now as far as building parallel systems, because I think that that would technically be, I guess, a black market. But going with a parallel system of some kind, and that's why I love Andrew Torba and what he's doing with Gab, because he's trying to build parallel systems and try to, you know, even with the banking and stuff. I mean, he's doing his part to try, and that's what everyone needs to be focused on.
Yeah. I have to hand it to the Democrats. They've done a great job solidifying their power.
Yeah, and it's not, to be fair, it's not just the Democrats. It's the establishment Republicans as well.
Yeah, well, I lump them into one coal. Mitch McConnell's a Democrat. Liz Cheney's a Democrat. Lisa Murkowski's a Democrat. I'm using that as a euphemism to describe anyone who's not for the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few candidates out there that have done a pretty good job, doing the best they can anyway, and so those ones should be honored. But yeah, I mean, we're in a situation right now where, I mean, we've seen it coming miles away, and it doesn't make it any easier once it's here. The noose is definitely tightened, and it will continue to tighten with these vaccine passports.
Yeah,
they're not going to let up. They're already talking about the next pandemic. They were talking about the next pandemic right in the middle of the last pandemic, you know, and I'm using the word pandemic loosely because, frankly, I don't think it had to be anywhere near what they made it out to be. This was all a political pandemic is what it really was, political corruption.
I know. I hear you. They've got it all worked out. They've had it worked out. They've got their plan B and C in effect. And so, I, tip of the cap for people that have game planned very well. I'm a former coach. I respect game planning. It's just, unfortunately, they're game planning for the most evil force in the universe. And, I guess I am. You know, honestly, here's how I see this, Darren, at the end of the day. The only people that could keep voting for the demise of themselves and their own people and keep bringing us programs that promote demise of themselves and their own families would be people who are satanically controlled, and they don't see the difference. They don't see the consequences of their actions. And therefore, I've come to view this as a fight between good and evil.
Yeah, I am totally with you on that. It's definitely a battle between good and evil, and we're on the side of good, and the other side, some of the minions actually think they're self-deceived enough to think that they're on the side of good. And the virtue signaling that goes on. I was recently in a meeting where there were some of these left-wing people, and it was funny because there was a woman that sat down beside me, and then after a few minutes she gets up and moves over and pulls a chair in between her and me. And I'm thinking, okay, I showered this morning. What was the reason for that? I look over at her and smiled, and she kind of gave me this funny, awkward smile back. And then I realized, oh, this is a virtue signal for her. She's doing the social distancing thing, you know? I'm thinking, okay, well, baby, where's your mask?
Yeah.
Why don't you
know? Did you see the CDC is now recommending masks this fall?
It doesn't surprise me.
That came out today. I read that today.
Yeah, they're gonna go back down, and we're gonna be doing this whole, 2020 thing all over again, with the pandemic, and it's as predictable as the next day. You know, they're gonna do it all over again, and they're gonna keep pushing. You look. There are companies right now that have been, and I may have mentioned this on a previous broadcast where I was on your show, but there are companies right now that have been working to harmonize the regulations and harmonize all the technical aspects of all these various vaccine passport things. And this is an enormous investment. The Gates Foundation is very involved in this. Bill Gates, various tentacles, where he invests money into various things, and they're very involved in trying to harmonize all the technical regulations and have standards in place. That's really the word I was looking for, is standards.
Yeah.
Because they want to be able to have different companies be able to offer it, but have it all be credentialed by a centralized authority, and then be able to push this on the public.
I don't care how they label it. It's illegitimate authority. And
yes,
we're under no obligation to obey them because, one, they're violating the rights of humanity. Two, they're violating the constitutional tenets of our own government. So we have no obligation to obey them. How much of voluntary compliance do you think they rely on?
Ultimately,
we got about 30 seconds.
They rely upon the masses to be able to comply.
Yeah, that's it. And if we could convince the masses to say, go to hell, I think they'd have major problems.
But that's a process of education, Dave.
That's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. And that's why I'm saying I stand up and say no to them, and that may be more effective than the vote that doesn't count. Darren, tell people how they can follow your show, because you got a terrific show, and it's been great for years.
Thank you. You can go to governamerica.com. That's governamerica.com. And that's where you can get the past archives of the show. You can get the November 12th show that Dave Hodges was on in the third hour. And so governamerica.com. And I wanted to say one other thing real quickly. If anybody does want to help out with the precinct, tapes and stuff from the county clerks, you don't have to live in Michigan, but you can email this gentleman, rw247365@gmail.com. That's rw247365@gmail.com, and just tell him you would like to help any way you can, and he can explain the process of doing that.
Yeah, so, I remember General Patton said, "We're not retreating, we're just fighting in a different direction." Keep your spirits up, folks. Thanks, Darren. It was good, very, very good information. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you all.
Thank you.